important than ever, more precious than ever. And I've entitled the message, The Great Invitation. The Great Invitation. And I invite your attention to a text in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Oftentimes this text is used, and rightfully so, as a gospel message, and we would use that we would certainly include that this morning. I think very definitively it is a gospel invitation. But I see more than that. I see more than just a gospel invitation here. And I think that that is an important consideration too. And so hopefully the Lord will guide and direct with the Holy Spirit this morning as we consider the great invitation. And so let us read these verses. We'll read from verse 27. Jesus, of course, speaking. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And there we have a very important and definitive statement about the sovereignty of God in salvation, don't we? That it is God's determination, isn't it, to reveal to whom he will. And I think that's an important thing. We find it sprinkled throughout the scriptures, but it's often overlooked and should not be. It's important for many reasons. And then we get into the meat of our text this morning in verse 28. And this is the great invitation. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're familiar with that verse, aren't you? Are you familiar with the rest? Maybe not. Often not. And that's a little bit about what we want to talk about this morning. He goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and I am lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, Father, we pray in Jesus' name this morning. We come thanking you for this wonderful text of Scripture that comes out of the mouth of our Savior to us. Just as alive and fresh today, just as valid an invitation as it was when it was first spoken 2,000 years ago. And even before that, through the pens of the prophet Isaiah, we find that invitation in essence. And we thank you for the invitation. We thank you for the inviter. We thank you for what is promised. But we confess, dear Father, that we who name the name of that same Jesus often find ourselves restless with the rest of the world. And so let us come back and remember this wonderful invitation. Help us to speak from it this morning, dear Father, in a way that gives you the glory and is a blessing to your people, and in it may Christ be recognized, seen, lifted up. We pray that our attention would be fixed upon Him who offered us so glorious an invitation, who offered that invitation to all. We thank You for it. Help us to preach from it. Father, there are many of our people today who are heavy laden, who are suffering. We think of our brother in the hospital. Pray for him this morning. We pray, Father, that he will find that rest along with his wife. We think of Tasha and Rhea in another hospital, suffering, ministering. May they find this sweet rest in Jesus. Along with all the rest, we pray for them this morning. Those that are traveling, those that are grieving, those that have grown calloused and allowed the things of this world to take precedence over Thee and Thy Word and Thy Son in their lives. We pray for them. There's no rest to be found there. Jesus said, "Come unto me." People of the world are going in 9,000 different directions. But he says, "Come unto me." Help us this morning to hear him and to come unto him, each one of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. An invitation from the one who made us. Isn't that something? An invitation from the one who made us to come to him. It seems strange that our Maker would have to extend to us an invitation to come to him. But he does, and he did. And an invitation from the one who made us, an invitation to all who have sinned against him. And that includes all of us who are here today, doesn't it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the one we've sinned against says, "Come unto me." What an amazing thing. What a compassionate thing. What a record of his boundless love, his undefinable love for us. In this invitation, we see it. He extends this invitation to all who live in a world that is groaning under the curse of sin. How gracious, O God, your heart for the groaning and the travailing in the world, knowing that all the ways that we seek to find that rest, we will not find it. And so you call out to all humanity, "Come unto me." That's a moving picture. Romans 8 makes it very clear, doesn't it, in verse 22, that Paul writes, God speaking through his pen to us, "We know that the whole creation, groaneth listen carefully, you can hear it. You're probably often part of the clamor of the groaning. Your groans are added to the countless groans. Can you imagine that ascending up into the ears of our God and Savior? The groaning, he hears it all. And he tells us that we know, Paul said, that the whole creation, there's none exempt. We're all groaning and we're travailing in pain together until now. And that was written about 2,000 years ago, and here we are. And in the midst of the groaning, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This groaning, this being heavy laden, this labor, ceaseless labor. Why is it this way? We go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, and we understand clearly. God says, "Because you have done what I commanded you not to do." That's why. And yet we continue to do what he told us not to do, and continue often to not do what he tells us to do. And so we just add to the groaning and the travailing, don't we? Instead of being a medicament, a balm from Gilead, we add to the groaning and the travailing. And all the while, Jesus is still saying to the groaning and travailing ones in the world, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." But it goes all the way back, doesn't it, to the beginning. It goes back to the beginning of human history. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. God said in chapter 3 of Genesis, "Because you have done what I commanded you not to do, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. How long, Lord, until thou return unto the ground? For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Come unto me. Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Life is hard in a sin-cursed world, isn't it? Have you noticed? Life is hard in a sin-cursed world. All of its inhabitants are carrying heavy burdens of all manner. Heavy burdens. We'll not even bother to enumerate them. Just let your mind run. Identify your own burdens. What are they? They might be financial. They might be physical. They might be health burdens. They might be family burdens. They might be insecurities. They might be doubts. There might be all sorts of things. Unknowns. So many causes in a world under the curse of sin for heavy burdens. Life is hard in a sin-cursed world. All of its inhabitants are carrying heavy burdens. Buddy and I went to a rare movie. We very infrequently go to movies. There's so little to see of value. But this one was of great value, and I recommend it to you. It's showing at Burns Court. At least it was. I don't know if it still will be. But it's called One Life. And it's a true story about a man during the early stages of Hitler's war. That did all he could. Young man, stockbroker in England. But he couldn't stand to see and to read about all those children that were living in the streets because of Hitler's war. And he orchestrated an amazing effort, miraculous effort. And not single-handedly, but he was the impetus and he was the orchestrator. And he was able, before Hitler made it impossible, to rescue, I believe it was 669 children, one trainload at a time, with great labor and great risk. But there were thousands. And the last train was the biggest load, and they never made it out. Bunny said to me in the midst of the film, "We've never known hardness." Can you imagine? And that's going on all over the world right now, those same sorts of things for the same sorts of reasons. Haven't we learned anything? No, we haven't. Of course not. The groaning and travailing is going on. And even though we haven't known anything like that, perhaps in our lifetimes we groan too for other reasons. The whole creation is groaning and travailing. And in the midst of that, Jesus is saying, "Come unto me." Come unto me. That poor man was tormented by those that didn't come out. He couldn't find much comfort in those that he was able to save. But he couldn't save them all. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Life is hard in a sin-cursed world. All of its inhabitants are carrying heavy burdens, broken people in a broken world. We're all in that boat. It is a restless world. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart. I'm not proud and bullheaded and going to do it my way. I'm not stubborn. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know, there are some things in life that you cannot learn from a book, even the good book. It's called on-the-job training. It's some of the very best. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. There's so much to learn, but we must learn it with his yoke upon us. We must take his yoke. We must follow him. We must do as he says and give as he gives and lay ourselves aside and think more of others. I think about that poor man. He was so tormented. The man I mentioned, I can't call his name. Winton. He was so tormented. He was tormented about the ones he couldn't save. He lived to be 106 years old. I only know one other man in my lifetime that lived that long, Brother Robert Ross. It's amazing that he lived that long. God kept him around a long time. But you know, someone finally got, he was so tormented, he could not rest. The faces of all of those children that were lost because of one man's greed, one man's megalomania, one man's ungodliness. Isn't it amazing in this sin-cursed world how one man can affect the lives of so many others? And one man can add such a burden to so many lives. But Jesus said, "Come unto me. Come unto me." But you know, in God's mercy, Mr. Winton, an old scrapbook that he had kept forever from that time, got into the hands of someone who did something with it. And in that movie, it showed what really happened, that he was invited to come to this program, television program, in the early days of television. It wasn't too early. It was in the 80s, I think, by that time, early 90s. long time from the war in the 30s when all of this took place, still haunted by it. But unbeknownst to him, they had been busy trying to get all those people that he had saved, as many of them that were still alive. And he was sitting there with them and didn't realize it. And then the Lord saw to it. They asked the question, the moderator asked the question, are there any here today that were saved by Mr. Winton? And I don't know how many people stood up. 100, 150, all behind him. And then, Mr. Winton, would you stand up and... But you know something? The torment was taken away. What does that have to do with our text? It has everything to do with our text. In principle. Because what he did was very Christ-like, wasn't it? He left his practice. He was on the verge of being fired. They'd had enough of him being gone on this project that they didn't share his heart for. But the important thing is that he found rest. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your soul. But you got to put the yoke on. What a picture of this text this morning, I find, at least in principle. We live in a restless world. Broken people trying to find rest in a broken world are pictured in an interesting way. I hope you can see it with me and don't think I've lost my mind in seeing this in this text in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. It's where Jesus gives an account, a parable. He says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. You see the picture. Sometimes we try to do all we can do to get some rest. And we clean up our act and we straighten up our life and we fix some things that are broken. And we think we've accomplished it. And all of a sudden it's worse than it was before we started. Because we didn't come unto him. Our rest is found in him. In his yoke. In his ways. David understood what many today do not. In Psalm 63 and verse 1, David said, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Boy, I'll tell you, our land is becoming pretty parched. Arliss was talking in John about this morning a little bit briefly about their concern for water in the state of Florida with all the people that are moving in and all the destruction of habitat and all of that where water can filter, and it's a concern. I told them Mexico City is on the brink of being without water. It's a huge population to be without water. But this is of a different sort. This is not about literal water, is it? Although that's a very real danger. But David speaks like this again in Psalm 63 and verse 1. My soul thirsteth for thee, O God. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Come unto me. Oh, that's the invitation. Come unto me. Yes, in this dry and thirsty land, come unto me, who is the water of life, who is so many things, who is everything. As Mr. Spurgeon well said, and I appreciate that quote from Mark sent to me about Mr. Spurgeon. And I hope that I will remember to do that, to come back always to Christ, not stop preaching until I come back to Christ, who is all in all. And we see that in this invitation, that he is indeed all in all, isn't he? Come unto me, and I shall give you rest. It is a dry and thirsty land. God's people, again, are pictured in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 9 after the flood, or the flood is receding, but hasn't completely receded. Noah let loose a dove, remember. But the Bible says the dove found no rest. The dove, a picture, timidity, meekness. Picture of the Holy Spirit represented in the dove descending upon the Lord Jesus after his baptism. But here we see a beautiful picture, a picture of truth. The dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark. Come unto me. It's a picture. The ark is a place of safety, a place of comfort, a place of protection. In a world under judgment, increasingly, Jesus says, come unto me. We find ourselves sometimes like Israel of old in Jeremiah 45 and 3. Thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Can you relate? The invitation stands. And you ain't going to find any rest any other place. You see, what I was talking about earlier as we introduced the topic is, you know, this is not a once and done invitation. This is a reminder of where our rest is to be found. The invitation stands. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The world at large without God and without hope are described by Isaiah in chapter 57 of verse 20, when he said, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. But you know, the sea in the scripture is a picture of humanity. You've heard the phrase, the sea of humanity. And there's a lot of wickedness in the sea of humanity, isn't there, right now, especially right now? And so, yes, it's like a restless sea out there. But, you know, even for a child of God on a restless sea of humanity, it's hard to find rest when the boat is going from side to side, you know, and almost to capsize, and the waves are breaking over the bow. It's hard sometimes to find rest for the people of God, isn't it? And so he says to us, come unto me, reminding us to come unto me. There is rest to be found in him and in his yoke. The invitation stands. When the whole sea of humanity is rocking and reeling, it's hard for God's people to find rest. Come unto me. It's not a once and done. It's an open invitation to come unto him. You know, it's a strange thing. Sometimes when we're laboring and are heavy laden in our life for whatever cause, isn't it interesting, and isn't it a commentary on our sinful natures, that we often then find it hard to take his yoke? Take my yoke. That's when God's people often forsake the house of God. That's when God's people often forsake sacrificing for the Lord, for others. I've got to keep my own boat from sinking. Come unto me. And I will give you rest. Again, the followers of Jesus can see ourselves in Judah, the tribe of Judah, in Lamentations chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. That's kind of where we're at in America today, as God's people. It says she findeth no rest. Our rest cannot be found among the heathen, among the nations of the world. We're God's people, God's kingdom. Jesus reminds us, come unto me, and you shall find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Even in the midst of the tribulation, even in the midst of the labor, even in the midst of the heavy burden that you are bearing and struggling with right now, come unto me and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and I am lowly of heart. Remember with me what Jesus said in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek. They're the ones that are going to inherit the earth. It's not going to be Mr. Putin with all his nuclear military might and his willingness to sacrifice the lives of his people for his own pleasure and desires. It's not for any of those terrorist organizations whose aim and desire is to destroy Israel. With all of their munitions, all of their rockets, all of their drones. None of those. Blessed are the meek. The meek shall inherit the earth. That's a promise of God, isn't it? And why does Jesus tell us this? Because that's where his rest is found. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know, Paul, the great apostle, was no exception to being burdened and heavy laden, to finding no rest. That may surprise you, but shouldn't really. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, these are the words of the Apostle Paul. He said, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now that's an interesting statement in God's word to tell us that there is none exempt from this problem of restlessness, of not finding rest. And so often we're deprived of that thing that we want. Paul wanted to be reunited with Titus, his brother. It was important to him. He could find no rest. But what did he do? He took the Lord's yoke upon him. And look what happened. In the very next verse, when he had already told us that he could find no rest and why, and yet he went and did the Lord's will anyway, in another place, with that longing in his heart, unmet, he went. And the very next verse, this is important timing, the very next verse, verse 14 in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Amen. and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge, the knowledge of Jesus, in every place. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. It's found in him. It's an invitation to the whole world, lost and saved. But it is very definitely an invitation to God's people that we need. Like Paul, there's things that we've been deprived of, and we can find no rest. But let us do what Paul did. Let us go on in the yoke of the Lord upon us and learn more of him and find that we will always triumph in Christ Jesus and find that rest. Paul had accepted the invitation again. How many times had he accepted the invitation of Christ to come unto him, to take his yoke? In his restless state, in his heavily laden state, oh, how often he was heavily laden, but he kept taking the yoke of the Lord upon him, didn't he? He answered the call. He accepted the invitation, and so must we, or we will be consigned for the rest of our lives to restlessness. Well, was it a once and done for Paul? No, of course not. It's not a once and done. And there stands Jesus always and ever to the lost and to the saved. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Well, all of us are laboring one way or another, aren't we? Some of us are laboring against insurmountable odds, it seems. Some are laboring in an unwinnable situation, an untenable situation, it would seem. But and the lost certainly are of that case. But to all that are laboring, all that are heavy laden, I love that we serve the God of alls, don't we? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. This is an invitation to share with your lost friends, because I guarantee you they are heavy laden. You can see it. I'll tell you, as the world waxes worse and worse, as Jesus predicted, the burdens are ratcheting up, aren't they? And the tempers are flaring, aren't they? Desperation is setting in. Hopelessness is getting heavier and heavier for more and more. Oh, thank God for the blessed hope. Christ in all of this is saying, come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. No fine print. Praise God, no fine print. It's an offer for you, child of God. Because you're laboring and you are heavy laden. So is this preacher. Different things, different causes. God knows us, and we're all in this sin-cursed world, aren't we? It's not a new problem. Well, what, my question, was it the end for Paul? Not hardly. In the very same letter, 2 Corinthians, chapter 7 and verse 5. Remember, now he had gone to Macedonia without his friend, without his brother. His heart was heavy, but he took the yoke of Christ upon him, and God was good to his promise. The Lord was good to his promise. So now he's in Macedonia where he went with the yoke upon him, and he was victorious in Christ, as he already said, praising God for it. But a few chapters later, he says, now when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. Now it's a different problem, but still no rest. One was an emotional restlessness. He was separated from his brother, and it was grievous to him. Now he said, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Listen to those words. This is the Apostle Paul, a man of God, the Spirit of God within him, chosen vessel. And he's just being honest, isn't he? He's letting us know that there is no temptation that has befallen you but such as is common to man in this sin-cursed world. Whether you're an apostle or not, there are no exceptions. But listen to what he said. We were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, verse 6, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Isn't God amazing? He knows what he's doing. The invitation stands. How sad it is to me to find children of God forsaking the assembly, forsaking the Lord, forsaking the yoke in pursuit of the things that they desperately feel like they need to assuage their restlessness. It won't work. It can't work. Jesus is all in all. Amen. And he's the one that says, come unto me and I will give you rest. And what a beautiful portrayal of this in Paul's life shared in one letter, one church letter. Beautifully revealing. We must take the yoke. God will provide the rest in his unique and wonderful way. But he will do it. He promised. It's not a new problem. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 55, God cries out through the prophet's pen, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And then he asks this question, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Same invitation from the same God for the same reason, purpose. 600 and something years before Jesus Christ uttered those words. He's God in the flesh, speaking to us the same words as God through the pen of the prophet. Well, we've run out of time again. We always do that. But we were going to go and read a little bit in another parable. You can look at it on your own as a follow-up to our message this morning in your own time, maybe as a devotion tomorrow morning or later today. Luke 14, 16 through 23, that's an invitation to a great supper. It's very instructive and it fits in beautifully with what we've preached thus far, but I'm going to end with closing words appropriately that come to us from the closing chapter of God's book. Closing chapter, that in itself is very important. Chapter 22 of Revelation, the very last utterance of God on paper for his people. And look at what we read. There's only four other verses left in the whole Bible. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride, that's the church, say come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God closes his book with the invitation. the great invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will still give you rest. May the Lord bless his word to every one of our lives and to our hearts, to our labors, to our groanings and our travailings, to our restlessness. May we find his peace. May we find his rest. It's my prayer. It's found in Jesus. What a perfect verse, or a perfect quote, Brother Mark said to me last evening. How well it fits. Just another example of how God works. Using different ones to accomplish his perfect purpose. Yes. Jesus is all in all. Let us stand and sing. I don't need to.